want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
Tune in to hear an encouraging word by Pastor Cindy Daigle. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
I think that sometimes a good place to start when you're looking at a new, fresh start in life is to make sure that the measuring thing that you're using is accurate. How many of you know if you're going to build a house and you're going to use a ruler or a tape measure, you don't want the inches on your tape measure to be different than somebody else's tape measure, right? You want the inches to be inches no matter what kind of tape measure you buy. You want it to be inches. Right? You want feet to be feet. You know, back in the original measuring devices, what they would use is your forearm. Well, that works great as long as you're using your forearm and not somebody else's. Because if you're using another carpenter and theirs is longer, well, then their cubit is going to be different than your cubit. Right? So that's a problem. It was okay for Noah because he's the only one with the cubit. But if you're going to build together, you can't have different measuring devices. God gave us a measuring device to measure our righteousness by. And our problem is we think that he's just so mean. Because he said, you know, if you don't use my measuring device, I get to stone you. In fact, I'm not even going to stone you anymore. After we moved out of the whole wilderness experience and we move into the promised land, he doesn't swallow us up anymore. There's no death coming directly from God anymore for breaking the commandments. Now we get to stone each other. Isn't that awesome? What is God doing in making the Ten Commandments a death penalty offense? Our first reaction is being a very mean God. But when you think about it, the Ten Commandments are not hard to keep. How hard is it to not murder somebody? How hard is it to stay faithful in your marriage? How hard is it to honor the people who gave you life? How hard is it to not bear false witness? How hard is it to guard your heart and to be thankful when somebody else gets a blessing that you didn't get? It's not hard. So for God to say, well, I'm going to stone you if you don't keep that. Almost like a parent teasing a kid, right? You don't keep that because it's so hard. It's so easy. It's so easy to walk in the love of God, yet we don't. And then we shake our finger at God and say, he's so severe. How could he want to kill us for just taking his name in vain and we get stoned? Just missing church and it means our life? How could that be? Because what we fail to understand is God has put a measuring device. It's a mirror that tells us what love is because we don't know. And when you start to meditate on those commandments and think about why are they so severe, why is there such a harsh penalty? Is it really harsh? Or is our wanting to break them what's really harsh? When you argue on the side of it being harsh, you're arguing for permission to break them. You're saying, God, I want to break them. And I don't want to die, but I want to break them. Really? You want to be able to murder? Really? You want to be an adulterer or a thief? You want to be covetous in your heart? Do you know how disgusting it is to have that kind of heart? Yeah, you do, because we all have one. But do you want to keep it? So what we have to understand is when we see the reflection of God's love and holiness in the commandments, and we recognize that we don't look like that, we don't think like that, we don't act like that, and then we got to figure out how to get there because we can't keep the law. But love can keep us. And if love keeps us, then the law is not hard at all to keep. So we got to let God's love keep us. That part is really not hard, except that Jesus, and I think it was Paul in Ephesians, that we need to be strengthened with might in our innermost being to know the love of Christ. Okay, wait. Love? Anybody think that it's not hard for your God to love you? God, you can love me. Why do I need to be strengthened for God to love? Do you think God needs to strengthen you for him to love you? Does that make sense? Why did he write that? That's kind of confusing. Why did he say we need to be strengthened with might? That's power, okay? That's big time power. In our innermost being to know the love of Christ. I don't understand why he wrote that. Do y'all understand why he wrote that? Did you ever stop and think about it? Why do we need to be strengthened? Because the love of Christ is not self-seeking. What he's saying is you need to be strengthened with might in your innermost being to be able to imitate and have and possess for your own the love of Christ. Because you can't do it by yourself. And that's all the commandments do too. They measure that you fall short. Your 2x4 ain't long enough to frame this thing up. And we ain't got no board stretchers, contrary to carpenters who send you looking for one. We don't have one. We fall short. We don't measure up right. So then, with that understanding, I need a board stretcher to strengthen me. It's miraculous. My 2x4 ain't gonna get no longer than it is, and neither is yours. So we need the Holy Spirit to make us able to love like God loves. Now here's the thing. He doesn't tell us we get to go measure other people's love. You're just looking to make yourself comfortable. You're not trying to make them okay. You're trying to make you okay. I think it was Francis Chan at the One Thing Conference was talking about the selfie generation and how there's so many selfies, and that what we really need to do is flip that camera on our cell phone and stop taking selfies and flip it and take pictures of random people. And I meditated on that for a while and thought about it, and it's like, you know, that's true. Because when you flip your interest to be about other people, God will set you free from you. And it's not your family, because that's just mini-me's, right? No, flip that camera to take meaningful pictures, make them look good, of people you never met in your life. Get interested in them. Ask the Holy Spirit if you can have a conversation with them, if you can lead them to Christ, if there's something in their life that is lacking that you can provide. Ask the Holy Spirit to make them as important to you as your selfie is. Because the selfie thing, it reveals our sinful nature. It really does. That we're very self-absorbed, and we do need to be strengthened, and we need to be measured. We need to find out that those commandments are too easily broken by us, and we disregard them and think that they don't mean anything. It just doesn't mean anything if I skip church. It just doesn't mean anything if I say OMG. It just doesn't mean anything if I tell you I'm a Christian and I act like I'm not. It just doesn't mean anything if I do some kind of petty larceny, if I just kind of steal something from you because you can afford it. Sometimes people on their jobs, they'll take extra sugar packets or extra aspirin and put it in their pocket. Well, the boss didn't provide that for your personal take home. He provided that so you can stay on the job, and he didn't even have to do that, right? And so he's not doing that so that he can fill your cabinets. It's for your use. But we pilfer. That's what that is. And it's stealing. So why are we doing that? Why would you lie to the DMV? Used to be, you just told, oh, but I paid $500 and you paid $5,000. Why would you lie? Oh, I don't want to pay taxes. Can you not believe God for the tax money? Why are we breaking commandment after commandment after commandment? And then we pretend that we're right with God, but he's not your Lord and Savior if you're breaking commandments. Because if he didn't give you permission to do that, then you're not treating him as Lord. So he said, you must become as a little child. Little ones to do, because a little one wants to have his way. They want candy instead of good food. They want to show up to church in shorts and short sleeves on cold, rainy weather, right? Well, you got to have parents that say, no, you don't do that. You put clothes on. You do this. You do that. You know, you're going to eat the good stuff. You have to have parents that guide them and restrict their behavior. And what you teach them first is ask permission. You teach little ones, ask first. Then when you tell them, what do? If you don't tell them what they want to hear, they let you know they didn't agree with you. So now you got to teach them, you can't disagree with me. You have to accept my answers and be happy, even if you don't get what you want. And what you're training them to do is to lay their will aside and to understand your will is better. Isn't that what happens when Christ is your Lord? That my will is laid aside because His will is better. If I'm not doing that, He's not my Lord. If I'm not asking Him and waiting on answers, He's not my Lord. If I'm not seeking Him for every decision, except for going to the bathroom, you don't have to ask Him for that. He gave you a bladder. But you do have to ask Him about other things, right? Every decision you make, you need to ask the Holy Spirit. You need to ask Him. You know where Christians fail? They start thinking that they understand this goodness bit and they know how to be kind. And so they start giving to whatever and whatever and get mad at whoever and, oh, righteous indignation. And you're not asking God anything. You're just doing what you want to do. That's not okay. It's just not okay. You don't continue to rule and reign in your life with your broken ruler and think you're going to arrive at righteousness. You have to be that little child that says, Daddy, can I have this? Daddy, can I do that? And when he says yes or no, it's thank you, Daddy. Okay. And you praise him. And if he says no, it's must have been a bad thought. Thank you, Lord, for not letting me have that. If he says yes, okay, that must mean I'm going to have some responsibility here, right? You got to let him direct your course because what he wants to do with your life is redeem everything you've been messing up. What he wants to do is let you find and show you what's inside of you. And you cannot have possibly wasted enough years to make it impossible for him to take what remains in your life and do something amazing with it. He has gifts and talents within you that you don't discover unless you're in obedience to him, because he's a good daddy and he loves making you do things that you think you can't do, because he knows what he put in you and what you can do. He says, we're supposed to say what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators, we know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.